Well, now the ending of the no-fault eviction ban has again dominated proceedings in the Dáil. Taoiseach Micheál Martin said that extending the ban would do more harm than good. He was responding to Labour Party leader Ivana Bacsik, who said the ban should be kept in place until homeless numbers reduce over four successive months. She also said the government does not have a plan to meet the needs of people when the ban ends in 8 days' time.
And as if to make matters worse, the government has revealed itself to be in a tailspin, because this week you announced a series of half measures, frantically cobbled together to shore up support for the motion, for your position on the counter motion. But these measures are fundamentally incapable of making one iota of difference to all of those due to be turfed out of their homes in 9 days' time, from the 1st of April onwards. Some of the measures are ill-defined, some appear to be antithetical even to your own purported aims. We heard the Minister for Housing revealing on News at One yesterday that he himself was not sure how the proposed first refusal scheme for tenants facing eviction would work, a scheme likely doomed to fail since so few renters could even afford to buy. And we saw in the Irish Times yesterday reports that Minister Mary Butler has expressed real concerns about the government plans, only plans at this stage, to allow people in nursing homes to keep 100% of the rental income from their homes. It seems she was not told in advance of this plan, despite being the relevant minister, and that she's disappointed with the decision, which she thinks will, and indeed may, very likely, prematurely drive people into nursing homes, a result entirely contrary to your own programme for government aims. So, Taoiseach, has the government lost control of this?
The easiest thing to do is to call for rent freezes, is to call for bans, is to call for indefinite bans. What impact do you think that is going to have on the rental market? That's my point. If you indefinitely extend an eviction ban, you undermine the market. We know from already there are people leaving the rental site. The figures are clearly there. There was 21,000 home sales last year involving landlords selling their property. 7,500 were bought by landlords. That means a net loss of 13,500 in the rental stock. Now, what you are proposing, Deputy, I would respectfully suggest, is adding to the insecurity, adding to the lack of certainty around that. What we need to do is retain those who are renting out their homes at the moment in the rental market, and we need to attract new people in with properties to rent, to increase the supply. The point is, what the opposition are looking for, in our considered opinion, would damage supply, would exacerbate the situation. That is the fundamental point here. There's no one cruel here in this House. No one has a monopoly of empathy. Everybody here wants to do the right thing in terms of making sure that people are not made homeless, and that we do as well.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin speaking in the Dáil this lunchtime. Well, upwards of 2,000 families are facing eviction in the coming months. Our reporter Carol Coleman has been talking to some of those people facing the end of their tenancies within weeks.
Yes, Brian, and I suppose the sense that you get is the constant worry for those going through this, both the parents and the children. I've been chatting to Teresa McKittrick from Stratford-on-Slaney in Wicklow. In 2 months' time, her family, herself, her husband and her two school-going boys will have to be out of the house that they've called home for 11 years. I asked her first for her reaction to last night's Dáil vote.
I was baffled, completely baffled. I mean, I know that it's not a long-term solution. There's been nothing put in place to sort this. You know, yes, if they had ended the eviction ban and said, this is what we're going to do, it just sounded like it was lip service, to be honest. This is what we're going to do. But it's nothing is ever done on time. You know, it's always going to be too late for a lot of people.
And time is crucial for you and your family. Just tell me what your situation
Absolutely,
is.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we have 2 more months left, basically come June. We'll have to leave our home of 11 years. And we got our notice to quit last April, and we have been looking since. We've applied to the council because we are now within the council limits on when their thresholds changed in the new year. But obviously we're going to be way down the list. So we've been told to get in touch with the homeless section of Wicklow County Council. So I'm waiting to hear back from them. And that's all it is. I seem to spend my day making phone calls and sending emails and packing boxes.
And you have two sons. How are they dealing with this uncertainty?
The younger lad, who's nearly six, we're making it look like an adventure to him. The older lad it's affecting him. He's not saying very much, but for instance, he asked me yesterday when I was putting on the washing, I was laughing at him, telling him not to throw every single thing in the washing machine. And he said to me, "Oh yeah, because we might not have a washing machine in our next place." You know, so it's little things that he's kind of thinking, what are we not going to have? What are we not going to be able to do? You know, so it's definitely affecting him. I'm going to get in touch with his school today to explain the situation, just even that they can keep an eye on him as well.
Have you started to think about what it might be like to have to move to emergency accommodation, or is that something you've just never considered?
Rather than a hostel, I'd live in the car. I'd sleep in the car. I wouldn't have them separated in a hostel. As I say, we're packing up boxes and we're looking at storage units. Is it going to come to that? Because we've 11 years of things, you know, we've our own memories that we want to keep and things, our own lives that we want to be able to keep.
Teresa, this is an incredible upheaval for you by the sounds of it.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's weighing on everybody's head. You go to sleep and it's the first thing you think of in the mornings.
Teresa McKitterick. Carol, you've also been hearing from another family. And again, this, I suppose, very clearly coming through the emotional, the mental health impact of something facing this kind of eviction.
Yeah, it's that constant stress of, I suppose, not knowing what's going to happen. Plus now this also feeling of being let down by the government. And that was expressed to me by Mark in Enfield. He's a father of five. His four-year-old has autism and is non-verbal. He and his partner, a nurse, both worked and volunteered as testers throughout COVID, and they say they feel abandoned by the government and see nothing in what was announced yesterday for them.
I don't think they're living in the real world at all. If like this first refusal and all, that's the only thing I can be guaranteed. How am I supposed to afford a house? Like, this house is I live in with my kids is worth 500 grand. I can't pay that. It's not a hope. There's nothing that'll help people, working families who don't get HAP or RAS. Won't even help the people who get it, to be honest with you, either.
When are you being asked to move?
We have till April 15. Now, the landlord's been nice enough to give us till May 1st. He's selling the house. We're just in limbo. We don't know what to do, to be honest with you.
Can I ask you, Mark, do the children know what is going on and is it affecting them?
Well, the 9-year-old, he's a bit clued in. The 5-year-old, they don't know. They keep saying what's going to happen with their friends and school and stuff like that when all this ends. Like, and I can't even answer their question. Trying to stay positive and tell them it's all going to be okay, but you can't really guarantee anything.
What are you being told by your local authority or your councillors about what the options are for you?
So we can go to a B&B. But as I said, one child has special needs and non-verbal, so it wouldn't really be a good situation for him at all. Just think it's a joke. You work and you pay tax in this country and nobody can help you. Like, what's the point? The government are so out of touch with the everyday person. They really don't care. Like, this is the only way of describing it. I'm not asking for a handout or anything. All I'm asking is for a house that's affordable.
A house that's affordable, says Mark. And he did tell me that a family member had offered the one spare bedroom they have in our house. But as he said to me, how can you fit two adults and five kids into one bedroom?
Carol Coleman, thank you for that.